Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach, coming up at 7:30, looking ahead to the matchup against Georgia this weekend as well, so looking forward to that. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road at 7:45. Paul Kaharski from Outkick 360 and paulkaharski.com joining the show at 8 o'clock, and Predators forward Matt Duchene calling in at 9 o'clock as well. So lots to get to on the program here today. And as always, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So we talked about it in the last segment, Joe. You've got a take for Tennessee fans that I think they're either going to be very happy with or they're going to be very nervous about as they listen to you talk about this. And the thing is, I think I may be right there with you. What is your take on this Tennessee team as you watch them play and as we look ahead to the Alabama game coming up on Saturday?
Well, I think this is less controversial than the discussion recently about two-loss Tennessee making the playoff, which, by the way, I'm still keeping out there as a possibility.
Okay.
Although, actually, it hurts. A lot of things have hurt that discussion, like Pittsburgh losing, yeah, and Kentucky losing, but sorry.
Come on.
I mean, it's hard not to mention Kentucky losing. I'm sorry, Michelle. That oatmeal looks good, by the way. Michelle's making oatmeal during the break. Looks like some good oatmeal.
That's good.
He's just trying to butter me up now.
Tear you back down here in a second.
No, what I look at Tennessee, I think that, like, worst case scenario right now is, I know there's a worst case scenario of, like, you lose to South Carolina, Missouri, whatever. Worst case scenario is the Sugar Bowl. Worst case scenario is the Sugar Bowl, okay? Which I know is hilarious to say.
Boy.
I know, but, dude, they're not, listen, I am seeing a good game Saturday. I'm still struggling to see Tennessee beat Alabama and Georgia. Who are they losing to other than them?
Look, right now I would say nobody.
I mean, Kentucky's still got the best chance with Levis.
Yes.
Playing well, like, with their defense.
They have the best chance. Heck yes, they do.
But I don't like their chances.
I don't either.
They have the best chance for sure. Like, look, I know South Carolina, you know, they're dancing around in the locker room after, and everybody was talking about how great Spencer Rattler was with his 170 yards and one touchdown or whatever it was that he threw. They're not very good. That's why I was watching that game the other night. I was like, I know Kentucky's on their backup quarterback, but this is still a not very good South Carolina team. Like, they should be winning this game at home.
Obviously, yeah, they still should have won.
Missouri had the random showing against Georgia and then kind of reverted back to, oh, it's Missouri.
Although they were right there with Florida.
Well, I don't see, that's the thing. That's the other part about this Tennessee team that makes me a little bit nervous as they move into the second half of this schedule. I still don't think they've played a good team.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Pittsburgh's all that good. I don't think Florida's all that good. I don't think LSU's all that good. So I don't think that they played a good team yet.
See, I'll disagree with you because I think that they've played teams that are capable of being good, that aren't every week good, but they played them when they played well. In Florida and Pittsburgh in particular. Now, that's not true of LSU. I actually think LSU is a lot better team than they showed Saturday. I think the way Florida played, Florida rose to Anthony Richardson. They rose to the occasion. I mean, they really did. They played as well as they can play, right? So when they play like that, they are good. But yes, on a weekly basis, they're not going to help you as much. But you're looking at that in terms of wondering if Tennessee can beat Alabama, right? Like, who have they beat?
Well,
but Alabama has looked like garbage sometimes.
Well,
they have,
but I'll say this. Like, I still, like, if Will Levis is playing for Kentucky, I think Will Levis and Kentucky are much better than any team they've played thus far. Florida, LSU, Pittsburgh, pick any of those three. I think Kentucky's a better team than any of those three that they played.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think Kentucky is a better team than how Florida played that day. I mean, we saw Kentucky and Florida play, by the way, and on that day, Anthony Richardson was awful. He gave Kentucky that game, right? If Anthony Richardson played the way he played against Tennessee, against Kentucky, they blow out Kentucky.
Well, sure, but does Tennessee's defense not get some blame for that? Like, if Anthony Richardson has only played that way one time and it's against your defense, aren't you a little bit culpable for that?
Yes, I agree. You are. There's some blame in there. But that guy just – it was just it's like the outside shooter who's very inconsistent. In some games he goes 3-for-18, but he went 15 for 20 that day, you know. I mean, I really think it was more him than them. They are what they are. They're not great.
I mean, he threw for 66 yards on Saturday. He was 8-for-14 for 66 yards.
Right. That's right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, so is that because Missouri's so much better than Tennessee in the secondary?
I don't think so, but hey, look pretty good against Georgia.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to do the transitive thing with college football, and it's hard. Bottom line is the Vols schedule is not helping them as much. And you're right. It's worth looking at that and saying, okay, so what have they really done? Like, can they really beat a team like this? But I also believe that the offense has been consistently either ridiculous or at least excellent. It's somewhere between ridiculous and excellent, and that's with personnel losses.
Agreed.
And that's why I think they're going to be in the game Saturday, and that's why I think they may be in the game at Georgia, and I don't think they're going to lose any other games.
So, look, I will say – one of the takeaways, you've gotten through this part of your schedule. We talked about heading into the season, the toss-up games on your schedule. We mentioned Pittsburgh. We mentioned Florida. We mentioned LSU. Well, you've won all three of them so far. So you're doing really well in the toss-up game.
Kentucky's the other one.
Kentucky's another one. Now, I was curious heading into the season what exactly South Carolina was going to be, and I've seen enough from them to know they're not very good. So I don't know if I don't consider that a toss-up game anymore. I don't guess I consider Missouri a toss-up game anymore unless they have a Georgia performance again, I guess. But Tennessee's going to win those games.
Yeah, they're due to look like Missouri again.
Exactly. So, really, the question to me is, it's Kentucky. Like, if Kentucky comes in and they play their best football, I still think they can beat Tennessee. Now, would I pick that to happen right now? No. Like, Tennessee, I think, is definitely going to be the favorite in that game. They're going to be the favorite in every game from here on out other than Alabama and Georgia. So, I mean, 10-2, we kind of – I don't want to say we scoffed at that to begin the season, but I was like, there are going to be a lot of things that have to go right for Tennessee to go 10-2. I don't really think that way anymore. Like, I think 10-2 is absolutely on the table for the team.
10-2 was the ceiling.
Yeah.
10-2 is now the floor.
Yeah.
Congrats, Tennessee.
The ceiling
fans.
Is the roof. How nervous is that making Tennessee fans that you've now said that?
Yeah. Well, and of course the thing
is – Sugar Bowl's the floor, baby.
Well, look, if you're a Tennessee fan, if I'm a Tennessee fan right now, I'm like, okay, I don't care.
Yeah.
Beat Bama. How about 11-1? How about 12-0?
Sure.
I mean, why not dream big?
Robbie's like, stop it right now.
Hey, but this is it. The opportunity's right here for you.
I will say this. I've thought about this as the week has gone on. I'm not going to say they're in a no-lose scenario because they're not. Like if you come – I think if they come out there and they get crushed on Saturday, it's fair if you're a Tennessee fan to be very disappointed by that.
And there will be so much taunting of Tennessee
fans. Well, yeah. Like if Alabama comes out there and wins by 25 points on Saturday, I think it's fair to be disappointed by that if you're a Tennessee fan. Good Lord, are they ever going to get close to this team? I think that's absolutely fair. So it's not like they're in a no-lose scenario. But, it's Alabama and Georgia that you got left on the schedule. I think you've got a pretty good chance to win every other game other than that. Like, if you're 10-2, I know, right now, a lot of Tennessee fans are allowing themselves to think about, okay, well, can this team get to Atlanta? Can this team get to the college football playoff? And there's nothing wrong with that. They're undefeated right now. So until they're not, by all means, think that way.
Sure.
But, if you get to the end of this and they're 10-2 and in the Sugar Bowl, that's the best season you've had in 25 years if you're Tennessee. You're not 25 is a stretch, 20 years at least. That's pretty good. I would take that.
No doubt. I mean, that's to get to
– Look, I said 8-4 would be fine at the end of the year.
And it would have.
Yeah.
And it would have been. That's the thing is it wouldn't be now.
Right.
You know? Because you've won three of those four toss-up games. So 8-4 would be – that means you're losing a game you absolutely shouldn't lose.
Exactly.
At this point. So, is that right, 20 years? I mean, what bowl game did they go to in 07 when they last time they were at Atlanta,
was it the
right?
Outback Bowl? I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's
– they lost three games that year. Yeah. And somehow ended up in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you're talking 01. You're talking –
yeah.
More than 20
years. 20
years,
yeah.
which right now would be a big disappointment to have that greatest season in 20 years. That's where you are right now. But you know what? That's what's great about being undefeated.
Yeah. So Joe Rexroad is throwing it out there. The floor for this Tennessee team is now 10-2 and the Sugar Bowl. What do you think of that? Let us know on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that conversation coming up next. Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you got to do is sign up with promo code Rob. Interesting game this weekend. A lot of eyes going to be on this one. The Bills and the Chiefs. I think the Bills go on the road. They get revenge this weekend, and they win against Kansas City. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. They've got great live betting options that I love to check out as well. So sign up today with promo code Rob for your no-sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Check out this latest tweet on Twitter from Michelle Knezovic. Kentucky could lose every football game as long as they beat Tennessee in Neyland. The latest tweet from Michelle Knezovic.
Okay, so what, that leaves them what? That leaves them what?
Okay, well, here's the thing. When you guys talk about it, it just, like, brings this, I don't even know what it is, over my body.
Just rage.
Apparently. Rage. But wow. Here's the thing. The loss to Ole Miss, basically, I'm already like, okay, cool, well. Then the second loss to South Carolina, I'm already just like, well, I don't really care as long as we beat Tennessee.
Jeez.
And I'm going to be at the game. And
these spoiled Kentucky fans, they lose one game in football. They're like,
get out of here. All right, let's go 4-8 and beat Tennessee. I'll be happy.
Well, but I tweeted after the South Carolina game. I know Will Levis wasn't in there and starting right tackle on the O-line stinks. But it's just like, oh, here we go again. Nothing new. Like my 4 years I was there, they were pretty much irrelevant. So they've only really been good since after. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like you should be happy with what they've become.
I mean, okay.
Would you rather?
I'm ready for basketball.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so would you rather they go in there and ruin Tennessee's season or Pitino finally figure out a way to beat Rick Barnes?
Pitino.
Pitino.
I'm going way back in time here.
Uh-oh, old brain taking over. Listen, at least he was at one time Kentucky's
coach.
He
was.
Wow.
Sorry, your guy Cal.
Yeah, Michelle Pitino, wasn't alive.
Pitino can beat him with Iona. Sure, yeah, that's great. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
No, seriously. What are you choosing?
I would rather win in football.
You'd rather win in football than basketball.
Heck yeah.
It's coming around.
Well, because here's the thing. If Rick Barnes beats them, we all know that in the tournament, which team's going to go further, which is what I care about more. Whereas in
St. Peter's would agree. I would agree with that. We do know.
Whereas, listen, whereas in football, you know, the regular season matters.
Yeah.
And they can't have that loss.
All right. Bottom line, you hate Tennessee.
Also, I'll probably cry in Neyland either way and be singing Rocky Top. So.
Interesting.
And then woo!
Woo!
Yeah. So Joe Rexroad's thrown it out there. The floor for this Tennessee team is now 10-2. So Joe is totally discounting Kentucky in this discussion. I will say.
I'm not discounting them. I'm not discounting them. That's the issue, potential issue.
Well, I will say, even when Levis has been in there, they've not looked all that great to me lately. They got a big problem on their offensive line. Like, they cannot protect the quarterback, and that is an issue as they move forward here.
It's also an issue. I mean, how do we evaluate NFL quarterbacks? I mean, Carson Wentz can throw for 350. Matt Ryan can make a bunch and throw for 350.
Sure.
Too. They both did. Yeah. But if you have the ridiculous turnover to lose a game, I mean, there's nothing worse, and that's what Levis did at Ole Miss. So, but no, I mean, I think they have a shot. That's where the floor would Tennessee at 9-3 possibly still get the Sugar Bowl? Possibly. depending on how everything else looks. 10-2 is basically a lock. Another question on the text line about the, and we talked about this yesterday off the air, the scenario of Tennessee beating Bama, Georgia beating Tennessee,
yeah,
Alabama beating Georgia in the SEC title game, three teams being 11-1.
Yeah.
Or, I guess, I'm sorry, Tennessee 11-1.
Well, they would have to be, so the winner of the SEC title game would be 12-1. The other two being 12-1, yeah.
But regardless, that's an interesting one.
It is.
That probably wouldn't go well for Tennessee, unfortunately,
probably
for Tennessee.
Not. I got a question you're going to love.
Oh, goody.
On the text line. That's from our friend Xavier on the text line. If Tennessee beats Alabama but not Georgia, is the season still a success?
Probably not, Xavier. I think that's a big disappointment. In fact, that seat under Heupel starts heating up a little bit.
We love you, Xavier.
Heupel and
so that would mean Vrabel. Going, I would assume, I mean, either 11-1 or I guess 10-2 if they lost to Kentucky, but they beat Bama.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you.
Parade.
Barring a complete disaster from here on out, and by complete disaster, I mean you beat UT Martin and lose every other game, I guess. This season's already a success for Tennessee. Like, it's hard to view it that way now because, you know, with the expectations now getting to this point, if they don't go at least 9-3, but probably 10-2, a lot of Tennessee fans are going to be upset. But you also have to think about the big picture of where they were and what your preseason expectations were for the group and where they are now. Like, it's going to be a successful season for Tennessee. I have no doubt in saying that.
I mean, the hatred over here, the hatred is flowing through the airwaves.
GB Joe really made her mad that last segment. My goodness.
Yes, man. If Tennessee goes 10-2, like just 10-2, however they get there, I'm trying to think of the idea of that. Once you saw the hire of Heupel, which was not celebrated many places, not celebrated here.
Not on this program.
And also then once you saw all the roster evacuations, if you said, yeah, the 2022 season, 10-2, that's laughable. Yep. So you have to keep that in perspective, whatever happens from here.
Yes.
But I know it'll be
hard. The fact that we're even talking about this, yeah, beating Alabama and Georgia, is kind of tells you what it's been for Tennessee so far this year. I did think about this the other day. You know, I'm in this establishment watching Tennessee destroy LSU, and on the other television, there's Texas at the time up 42-0 on Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking to myself, you know, we've talked about, like, the hypo element of that, but, like, if you're like Eric Gray right now, what's going through your mind of, oh, boy, that's not good. What did I sign up for at Oklahoma? And look at Tennessee right now.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Well, how about what if To'o comes into Neyland, gets sent back home with a big L?
Yeah.
And it's Tennessee, not Alabama, this year that goes on to the playoff. I mean,
look,
that's been so funny to say out loud.
Well, it is funny, but that's I have seen that on Vol Twitter this week. There's a lot of we're approaching a Vol Twitter like, all right, let's pump the brakes a little bit on the Henry To'o stuff, yeah. But. That's certainly out there.
That's the thing. Look, first of all, if it's laughable to even like if you would have suggested that at the time, laughable.
Yes.
Okay. But also, let's remember, To'o got brought here by Pruitt. You know, his coach got fired, and all this stuff was going on, and so like I can't blame anybody who bolted at that point
to Alabama.
Yeah, and I also can't blame anybody who decides, you know, whoa, Alabama would like me to start at linebacker?
Yeah.
I think I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
But, yes, he'll still – that'll be interesting. The To'o, you know.
Oh, he's going to get
– reception and all that stuff.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah. But it's like – it's just silly to me. It's silly. But I get it.
I do too. Michael on the text line says, I'm with Joe. Who cares? All eyes and ears are on Alabama. Like, I think that's where a lot of Tennessee fans – look – Tennessee fans are fired up about this game, and they should be. This is going to be an awesome environment coming up on Saturday. You know, I don't know exactly what my percentage chance is that I'm going to give Tennessee to win this game. Like, if Bryce Young's playing, like, I just think Alabama's better. They got more depth. They got more talent. I think Alabama's better. But, like, if you're a Tennessee fan, the fact that you're even thinking about going into a game against Alabama at home, a top 10 matchup, and you feel like you've got a chance, Like, that speaks pretty well of where your program is right now.
Yeah, well, look, because their offense right now is at a place. You know, sometimes you have these offenses, like, think back to, like, Chip Kelly at Oregon. First couple of years, actually, before Mariota, you know, they just, like, people hadn't figured it out yet what they were doing, right? The same thing happened with Briles' offense early there. I mean, different things. I mean, I've seen it. Even like West Virginia, Rich Rod and Pat White, and just the read option used to the extent they use it, how they used it with some passing game. They're, like there's iterations of offenses in college where for a certain period of time, it's like people can't figure you out. And it's personnel too, of course.
Sure.
It's not like this offense isn't new or anything, but just the way it's constructed, and I think you start with the quarterback, but it's a quarterback for sure, and he should be a Heisman candidate, but it's just everything that goes into it, I think. I mean, it's a national championship offense right now. Now, again, the defense probably keeps them from actually having that, but that's what the offense is.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the best offense in the country thus far. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup coming up against Georgia this weekend. That is next. Make sure you tune in when the Preds have a weekday game this season. It's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined shortly by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And Joe, looking back at the game for Vanderbilt against Ole Miss, I mean, you're up 20-17 at the half. You're feeling pretty good about the way that you're playing against a top 10 team in the country. And then obviously things get away from you in the second half. I mean, you get outscored, what was it, 35-8 in the second half. So the final score ends up being 52-28. Looks like a blowout on paper. And it was in the second half. First half is something that you've got to be, I think, pretty happy with if you're Clark Lee and Vanderbilt. But I think a good illustration of kind of where Vanderbilt is right now, I think it's clear, to me anyway, that they are an improved team than they were a year ago. Just the depth and sustaining it for 60 minutes when you start playing against these, you know, top-level teams in the SEC is hard to do right now.
Yeah, look, going into the year, I looked at the Ole Miss game like, okay, probably not going to go well, but at home, who knows? And I guess I didn't view Ole Miss as a top 10 team, but hey, that's sure what they are. They beat Kentucky. I will say that in the first half, you know, it's 20-10. And they get a big play, and they get on the board late in the half. It was very close to going to the half 20-10 Vanderbilt, with Vanderbilt running the ball very well. Vanderbilt playing really good defense against, as we all know, an explosive Ole Miss offense. I mean, that we expected them to have this year. You know, big plays, then it's like, and sometimes, I don't know, I guess it's kind of like, is it like a dam breaking or whatever sort of analogy you want to, real life analogy you want to throw in there. Big play, big play, big yeah play, and all of a sudden it gets out of hand. But I mean, that half of football, I mean, last year's team doesn't have that in them.
No.
Against a team of that quality. It's hard in this league, and especially when you happen to have these three games like they are stacked to, you know, it's tough, man. It's a tough league. It's the best league.
It is the best league in college football. There's no question about it. And you're talking about three games in a row where Alabama, Ole Miss, and now Georgia coming up on Saturday. I mean, you'll be hard-pressed to find a team with a tougher stretch than that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. Clark, what's going on? How are we doing this morning?
Doing great. How are y'all doing?
We're great, man. Appreciate good you taking time to be with us. So we were just talking about the game against Ole Miss. As a coach, what's kind of the balance of how well you guys played in the first half against a top 10 team, and then obviously it gets away from you in the second half? What are your takeaways? What's your messaging to your team after a game that transpires the way that it did on Saturday?
Well, we're disappointed, and I think the first, you know, thing you're kind of going through is just the emotions of you know, feeling like you had the performance you needed to have early in the game, and then, you know, the breaking down in really all three phases in the third quarter there that let it slip away from us. I think as you kind of distance yourself from the result and the disappointment, you start to try to examine what you can pull forward. And truth be told, I mean, you know, there were moments in that first half where I had as much fun coaching this team as I've had coaching any team. I thought, you know, at times we were showing flashes of that identity we want to play with and being the aggressors on the field. And, you know, I think in a lot of ways, you know, it's about taking a picture of that in our minds and just trying to replicate that and play Vanderbilt football over four quarters. You know, so, you know, we look at the third quarter, we talk about the energy coming out of halftime, which I thought was good, but I, you know, I think, you know, in terms of learning how to win and you know, just taking the next step as a program, what we needed to do in the second half is replicate the performance in the first half. And so let's focus on what we did well there and then, you know, look to pull that forward and again, this weekend, play four quarters of Vanderbilt football in Athens.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, Clark, I mean, the first half, the way you guys played, running the football, mixing it up nicely, and then just the aggression and just really just flying around, playing that kind of defense. I was like that, like last year's team, if we want to do the comparison, and you probably don't, but, you know, I was like, last year's team doesn't have that stretch of football in it ever. You know, I mean, So the improvement is obvious, but I guess, is it in a game like that, with the way things went in the second half, is some of it just, you know, a couple big plays and it's just hard to keep the morale and the energy where you want it?
Well, this is something we talked about earlier in the year. I think, you know, when we came out of the Northern Illinois game, we felt like there was a moment where we stepped on the field and dictated the energy on the field. On Saturday, you know, success is as much adversity as, you know, hardship. And so we were having success in the first half. It's this ability to continue just to reset your attitude, your mindset, and to go do the necessary things, the small things over and over again, the mundanity of excellence, right? It's just, you know, and I think sometimes when you you come out of half and you make assumptions about your opponent, or you feel like, hey, we're feeling really good with where we are, and then all of a sudden something happens to take you off course, you know, we have to have the ability, again, to step in and dictate energy. We need, you know, on the offensive series where we punt off a holding penalty, you know, we need the defense to come in and generate a stop. That first drive in the third quarter for the defense, you know, was we were absorbing yards, but, you know, we give up a running touchdown there that is just about tackling mechanics. It's not about, you know, what Ole Miss did. It's about what we didn't do. And then, you know, you back that up on offense with a swing pass that's a lateral, and they're playing with more awareness than we are. And all of a sudden they get a possession at the 4-yard line and turn around and on one play score a touchdown on a zone play. So that's an immediate swing of momentum, and a significant swing of momentum. And what we need in those moments is the next unit on the field is to step out and dictate energy and grab the momentum back. You know, we gave up 21 points there in a flash, and it just was too much for us to overcome. We're not at a point of the program right now where we can break down that way and expect to, you know, close out games. But I thought the two scores late were, you know, one was off a screen pass that, you know, again, we had the opportunity to down it. We weren't able to secure the tackle. And then the last one was just kind of sloppy play. It's not that we're not playing hard. It's just, you know, when we don't have the mental intensity on defense, both with our eye progression and, you know, playing one of 11 and everyone doing their job, you know, we're subjecting ourselves to explosive offense. And, you know, that hasn't gone well for us. So credit Ole Miss. They capitalized on all of our mistakes. They didn't miss. Good teams won't, and we need to be better defensively. And certainly I think, too, you know, obviously offensively part of the formula is, you know, game control drives and scoring touchdowns, and we weren't able to do that. So, you know, it's just getting back to that identity. We know the formula will work. We've seen it work in spurts. Now it's about, you know, pulling that identity over four quarters.
Well, you mentioned last score there, Clark. Obviously, it seemed like, you know, you had a kind of a longer talk with Lane Kiffin. I saw his explanation of sort of what was going through his head. Were you upset with the way they proceeded there at the end?
Not at all. I mean, I have a ton of respect for Lane, and I, you know, he was, you know, making sure that I didn't take that personally. And, you know, as a competitor, I don't, you know, sometimes to me it's as disrespectful to not try to score. And, you know, this has been true in every game where we've given up or surrendered a late touchdown. You know, I want to see a defense that's fighting all 60 minutes and fighting for every blade of grass on the field. And so, you know, we need to make the play, make the tackle. And I think if anything, yeah, I appreciate the fact that, you know, it gave us something else to teach off of. And I'm not right now worried about the perception of, you know, hey, we lost the game and the goal is to win the game. And so, you know, to me, we need to take all the learning forward, you know, and I'm just not going to get caught up in anything other than that. You know, it's about being competitive for four quarters and about playing our best for four quarters. And if we're going to win games against good teams, then we need to take a level of focus and, again, mental intensity with us, you know, for all 60 minutes. And that's what we needed to do against Ole Miss, and we didn't do it.
Vanderbilt coach Clark Lee on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Clark, I mean, as you know, it's one thing for a freshman to come in and play. It's another for a freshman to come in and be as impactful as I feel like Jaden McGowan has been like this year. From your experience as a coach, how, I guess, rare is it to have a freshman come in and be as immediately impactful as Jaden McGowan has been thus far for you guys?
Jaden's special. I mean, you know, I believe it to be rare. I mean, you know, because he's mature. He's physically mature. You know, he has the playmaking ability, but he also has the durability too. And you know, he's been able to sustain performance since the winter. And with every snap exposure, the game's going to slow down a little bit. He'll get a little bit better. I think he and AJ are developing chemistry, and with the return of, you know, Quincy and Gamarion, and obviously the way Shep's playing, you know, we can do more with him that fits his skill set. And so I've been really impressed with him. I'm excited to see him and watch him keep growing.
At another spot, of course, you know, Rocco Griffin, you know, moving on, Clark, how strapped are you at that position, and is there any adjustment necessary there with, like, moving someone or something like that?
Yeah, we obviously it's there's a ripple effect to everything, and you know, we have two guys there that we feel really strongly about. I think anytime you're going in midseason, you're beat up, and so Cooper and Chase are both options for us to have a solid third, and both guys have played in games for us this season. And then beyond that, I mean, you know, hey, if we're staying healthy and things are, you know, cruising along, we'll be just fine. But obviously we'll explore all options because in the end, you know, this is a tough league and it takes depth, and you know, it's our responsibility to supplement that depth the best we can. And you know, that's what we'll do. But right now we feel good about where we are. We'll have obviously that, you know, that third back in position by the time we're playing. And I look forward to watching, you know, Ray Davis and Cheeks, you know, be the playmakers they are and help our offense, you know, have success.
Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Wednesday morning at 7:30. Clark, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and good luck coming up on Saturday.
Hey, thanks, guys. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. You as well. Clark Lee, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic's favorite part of the day. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Pete Thamel, who of course had it first last week that Jeremy Pruitt was out the door, now reporting that Josh Heupel is finalizing a deal to be the next head football coach at Tennessee. So it's looking like this is definitely happening. Just complete silence.
Buckle up, everybody. You know, I'm sure Josh Heupel's a nice guy, and he's done some good things as a coach. He should not be getting this job.
You had an interesting comment at the break about, you know, like
UCFK?
UCFK.
University of Central Florida, Knoxville. You got to be real careful with those letters.
Yeah, could move some things around to get the general reaction of Vol Nation.
Now, again, I'm going to compile a list before the end of the show of all the people they should have hired before Josh Heupel. And you can't tell me he went to all these places. I mean, in some cases, I know he didn't. You got to keep an open mind with this guy and try to look at the positives. And there's going to be all kinds of spinning about how this makes sense. But this is to me, not a good day for Tennessee football.
Oh, boy.
So
can't win them all.
There's another. If you're going to dig in I'm sure there's more. I know one.
Oh, there's more.
I know one thing that day is. I forget why it came up, but at some point I know it was like Danny White. Remember, it was like Danny White.
Oh yeah.
Well, now that I found that episode.
Oh, you can just dig in and enjoy the heck out of it.
That was a grade one day on the. On the Robbie and Rex Road program, the day that Josh Heupel was hired by Tennessee. Some spicy takes from you and me there.
Wrote a column that day,
Porth
too.
Dying in the background over there.
I heard Porth, yeah. Well, I mean, my column, I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like, no, Danny White, Tennessee fans should not be excited about this hire, or something like that. And I used the UCF, UC.
That was gold, UCF, Robbie.
Yeah, that was gold. I used that. I was like, I'm still in that, absolutely.
Old takes exposed.
There you go. Yeah, bring it on. I mean, if you can't embrace being horribly wrong often in this job, then don't do it.
You're in trouble. Joe, with that in mind, hey. I turn things over to you for your Rex rant of the day.
I feel like I should change it now and maybe rant on myself, right?
Maybe probably. Do we need to do like a Josh Heupel apology show?
Maybe we do.
I mean, look, I will
Let's
say.
Let's wait and see. Now, if it he is only a year and a half to, if now, he loses 56-3 Saturday, I'm going back to all that stuff.
But like, like next Tuesday could be like a Josh Heupel apology show or Monday, either one. Sorry, Josh.
There's a lot of stakes here for the Vols, but maybe that should be one.
Could be.
If they beat Bama, then an entire show devoted
just
to a
give it to the Robbie and Rex Road show. I mean, look, their tight end already hates me, so we can just keep going.
That's right. He's liking your snide little tweets about him. All right. Well, you know what? I would actually, it's funny because I have a rant about another Josh today, another amazing coach named Josh. Josh McDaniels.
Oh, boy.
So we haven't gotten to this. You know, we didn't get to it yesterday, and I just want to talk about this. It bothers me a lot. We talk about it a fair amount, but and I don't know. He didn't actually use the word analytics, okay? But I've seen a lot of things written about his decision to go for two the other night. The analytics back it up, okay? So, look, I first of all, totally respect analytics. There is a really good story. Friend of the show, Daniel Popper, about Brandon Staley last year. It's really worth reading. It's really interesting. There's a lot that goes into this stuff. Just like anything, any play call with an OC, again, it's like they were trying to get their guard matched up with that linebacker because 8 times out of 10, he does this and you do. I mean, there's so much that goes into it, so much information we don't have on every little snap in football. And I respect analytics a lot. But here's the thing about the decision the other night, okay, where it's like you realize that someone is just not using their brain at all, yeah. And they are actually paid a lot of money to use their brain. So I'm gonna read Josh – for people who don't know, 30-29, huge tying touchdown, should be tying touchdown to Davante Adams, 4 minutes and 27 seconds left. 4 minutes and 27 seconds left, okay? This isn't the game, I don't trust us in overtime against them. Let's win it now. The Giants did here against the Titans, which won them a game. That is different. That I get in some situations. This is not that at all. Ton of game left. So this is Josh McDaniels' quote. We gave ourselves an – part of the quote. We gave ourselves an opportunity to take the lead there and then maybe put a little bit of extra pressure on them when they had the ball. Nothing more, nothing less. Just trying to be aggressive, trying to win a game, end quote. There's a lot more he said. So let's play that out. So the Kansas City Chiefs, you take a free point, as you should have done, and you tie the game. And there's 4:27 left. And you're worried about stopping their offense. Their offense has scored on five straight possessions. So the Kansas City Chiefs, let's say they have a – in that scenario, it's tied. They have like a 4th-and-4 at their own like 42. Okay, like whatever, something like that, right? If you tied them – see, the pressure – putting less pressure on them benefits you. They are going to punt to you now. They aren't desperate to use the best thing they have and the best matchup they have to beat you because they have to.
Yeah.
If you went ahead, 4th-and-4 from their own 42, they're going to go. And you know what? They're going to get it.
Yeah, they are.
It's so freaking stupid. I can't believe it. With that much time – You're asking the best part of their team to have to be more aggressive against you if you take a lead with 4:27 left. You gave yourself more of a chance to get a stop if they're okay. Okay, we can punt to them. It's fine.
Yeah.
And I know this is way in the weeds, but it's like, I mean, this is common sense. Common sense should trump analytics more often than it does. I'm fine with analytics.
It's the new age of head coaches, too. It's like, look, we talked a lot about Staley last year. Like, some of it's like, dude, you got to have somewhat of a feel for the game. Like, use some common sense every now and again. Like, look, there are people that go to the extreme of, what in the world would you ever use analytics for? Like, why are they even there? And I don't buy that either.
No.
But there is a balance involved. Like, you got to have some sense every now and then, and I just thought another example of just way overthinking yourself the other night.
Right. And again, now to be fair to McDaniels, he never actually said analytics told me. Like if a coach does something that makes no sense and just says, well, the analytics said that, then like I'm like, you're out, man.
Yeah.
Like I don't want you to be a coach. If you don't have more. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, Hackett should already have been like sent to the CFL by now. But like, if you don't have more feel for the game of your team, we'll go with the analytics people. Give them the headset then. Take one of those nerds from the booth and put them on the sideline, and yeah. You know, there we go. But this wasn't that how he explained it, but it was just dumb. Again, with 4:27 left, you're not winning the game. You're actually, I think, making it harder to win the game if you get the two.
Joe, I'm starting to think that maybe there's a chance that Josh McDaniels may not be a very good head coach. What say you? Just based on the track record that we've seen, both in Denver and now in the Raiders. Although, as you pointed out, maybe the best 1-4 team in the league.
You may be onto something there. At least from what I know. Like, it's not like a thing where, like, there's a total team mutiny.
And I don't think so.
You know, five games. So that's, I guess that's improvement from what happened in Denver. But, yeah, he may not work out for him. And the thing is, now he's got Matty Pat just lighting up the league with his offense. Yeah. So what's he going to do now?
I don't know. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com and Outkick 360 as well. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they sit alone atop first place in the AFC South right now as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.